Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Well, you know how you hope when you don't, when you go to church and show up, maybe even for the first time, you're hoping that the church isn't talking about money. As you've heard, that is exactly what we're talking about today. And the truth is, we basically never talk about money. We've talked about money exactly 8 weekends now out of just about 280 weekends that we've existed. Now, if you want the kind of long explanation of why we feel the need to do a series on money every once in a while, you can listen to last week's podcast on the website or on our app. And we talked about things like one reason is that the Bible talks about money all throughout. And in fact, it's the most common topic in the Bible, so we can't totally avoid it. But even more important, we talked about the fact that God wants us to be free, but most of us aren't free when it comes to money. We're in debt, we're enslaved, we're stressed out. And so we need to talk about this so we can learn how to become free and really be free to not, you know, be drowning in the stress of money. So in this series, we're talking about financial wisdom from the Bible. And last week, we shared with you some really good financial principles that can help you to kind of get a hold of your finances and to experience real freedom with your finances. We did not last week talk about giving, like giving to God, giving to church. And that is what we're talking about today. By the way, that's not what we're talking about the rest of the series, so you can come back, okay? All right, but we are going to be thinking about today. I know you're excited. I'm a little bit afraid that like a wave is going to break out. People are just going to be so, but if you can keep yourself calm and just listen, it'll be all right, okay? So this series is called Storyteller because we're looking at stories that Jesus told. Jesus told stories all the time, and 2/3 of Jesus' stories were about money. And so we're looking at some stories that Jesus told about money. And today we're going to look at one that's been called the parable of the talents. A parable is a story that has like a lesson embedded in it. So we're going to look at the parable of the talents, which is in Matthew chapter 25. If you have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible with you, that's okay. We'll put all the verses on the screen for you. You can read them up there. If you don't own a Bible, we'd love to give you one for free back at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. We've got English Bibles, Spanish Bibles, no other kinds of Bibles. So the parable of the talents or the parable of the bags of gold. Talents were a form of money back then. So starts this way in verse 14. Again, Jesus says, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Now, there are all kinds of lessons that we could learn and things we could talk about from this parable, right? But what we're going to do is we're going to focus really on just one thing. I mean, we could talk about the fact that this parable teaches us that God owns it all, right? In the story, this guy, this master, goes on a journey, and he entrusts some of his money with three servants, but they don't own that money. The master owns the money. He's just entrusting them to care for it, and that's a really important lesson to learn, because God says throughout the Bible that he owns it all. It may be hard to wrap our brains around, but the idea is everything I have belongs to God. Everything. And so when Christians talk about giving to God, or when they ask questions like, how much of my money should I give to God? Really, that's all kind of silly. We don't give anything to God. Everything I have is his. And so I'm holding his stuff and giving him back some of it. It's all God's. And so really, I should just do with my money whatever he wants me to do, because it's not my money, it's his money. That's an important lesson, but that's not what we're going to talk about today. The insight I want to focus on from this parable, the thing that really strikes me when I read this parable, is that really it all kind of boils down to a matter of trust. Really, the whole parable is about trust, right? There's this master, he's got a bunch of money, and he trusts his servants to handle his money when he's gone. The first two servants trust the master, and they put the money to work, and they get more in return, and so they succeed. The third servant, however, he doesn't put the money to work. He doesn't invest it. He just buries it. And did you hear the reason? He said, "Master, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not gathered seed." And so he says, "I was afraid." So I was afraid. So really what he's saying is, "I don't trust you. I've heard things. I wonder. I have my doubts about you. I don't trust you." This parable really boils down to trust. The master trusts these three servants. Two servants trust the master, and so they succeed. One servant doesn't trust the master, and so he fails. And really, the whole issue of finances for you and me, really, and especially like this issue of whether or not we'll give back to God, how much we might give back to God, it really all boils down to a matter of trust. It's about trust. Really, it comes down to two questions. Can God trust you, and can you trust God? That's it. Can God trust you, and can you trust God? The first question is, can God trust you? See, this story that Jesus masterfully tells is really a story about you and me. So God is the master in the story, and we are the servants in the story. And God, in a sense, has gone on a journey. In a sense, he's not here with us. In a sense, he is. But he promises that one day he will return. In the story and in real life, God is going to return. In the meantime, the master in the story and God in real life has entrusted us with stuff. Now, in one sense, this parable is not really like politically correct, because the three servants don't all get the same amount of money. And we might be like, that's not fair. But you know what that is? That's real life, right? We all don't get the same amount. We have different amounts of money. We have different amounts of animal magnetism. I got loads of it. And so we get different amounts of stuff that we have to manage that God has trusted us with. And did you notice in the story, everybody got something, right? There's not one servant who's like, I didn't get any. Everybody gets some. And Jesus is making the point, we all get something. Okay? No one gets nothing. We all have something. And God has trusted us with it to manage on his behalf. So God has given us some stuff, but the question is, can he trust us? Can he trust you? Can he trust you? It's a really important question. Like, here's one reason why. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." And faith and trust are really interchangeable words for the most part. So what we could say, and without trust, it is impossible to please God. Can God trust you? If he can't, that verse says it's impossible for you to please him. Now, listen, that doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Okay, God loves you no matter what. God loves you unconditionally. He's crazy about you, whether he can trust you or not. But that verse says we can't please him. Our lives aren't pleasing to him unless we trust him. And that's a different question. Can God trust you? Now, maybe you're thinking, well, Like, what would it take for God to trust me? I think the answer to that question is pretty obvious. It's if you're trustworthy, right? And a person is trustworthy if you do what someone says, right? Parents go away for the weekend, tell their kids, you can't have a party, you need to do this. If they do it, they're trustworthy. If they don't do it, they're not trustworthy, right? And so God would say, we're trustworthy if we do what he says. If he tells you something, you do it. If he tells you not to do something, you don't do it. And if we do what he says, he can trust us. For instance, in this area of finances. So last week, we talked about some principles that God gives us for being really smart with our finances so that we can be really free in our lives when it comes to money. And if we do those kinds of things that he says to do, well, then we're trustworthy. And if not, we're not. And last week, we talked about a few things. One thing we didn't talk about last week that God asks us to do is to give at least 10% of our income back to him. Okay, this is all throughout the Bible. So all throughout the Old Testament, God instituted this idea of percentage giving. And he sets up 10% as kind of just the base standard. The word tithe, maybe you've heard of that, like you tithe to God. It literally means tenth. That's what tithe means. Tithe means a tenth. And so, for instance, in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, the Bible says, a tithe, or a tenth, of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So a tenth of whatever you bring in goes back to God. Jesus came along, and he reinforced that same standard. So in Matthew 23:23, he's talking to the religious leaders, and he says to them, yes, you should tithe. And then he goes on to say, but you're ignoring some really other more important things like love. You're doing the right thing by tithing, but you're not loving. And so he says, I'm not changing the whole tithing thing. You should give God 10% of what you own. Now, you might hear that, especially if you're newer to this, and be like, whoa, ouch, what, like back the horse up, boop, boop. I don't think horses go, burr, burr, burr. Let's pretend horses go, burr, burr. Back the horse up. Are you serious? You're saying 10%? Because it's hard to live off of 100%. But now what you want me to do is you want me to give God 10% of what you're serious. Like, that's crazy. Okay. All right. I have three thoughts on that. Okay. Do you want me to share them with you? Not really. No. So some of you are pretending. I'm going to share. I got the microphone. I'm going to share them either way. Before I share my three thoughts with you, let me say this. If you seriously feel like you can't afford to do that because you've gotten yourself in a huge financial pit, maybe you're like, right now, I am so far in debt, I mean, I can't even see daylight. It's not about like managing 100%. I'm in massive debt. Then I would strongly encourage you to take our Financial Peace University course, which starts like here in the next week or so. And it's from Dave Ramsey. You've probably seen him on TV, heard him on the radio. He's brilliant when it comes to finances. This course has led tens of thousands of people all over the world out of debt and into financial freedom. And so if you're in trouble financially, take the course. You can sign up, learn more information today at the Velcro Bar. Trust me, take the course, okay? But for the rest of us who aren't like in bankruptcy, and maybe even for those of us who are, here are my three thoughts for those who are like, that's crazy. I can't afford to give 10%. The first thought, and you're going to hate this one, is that I actually don't think 10% is the goal to go after. I actually think it's the baseline to build from. My goal is not to give 10%. I started giving 10% the day I became a Christian 24 or 5 years ago. And trust me, I've had times where I made less than you're making right now. I had times where it's like, I'm going to bump some tabs, only got $20 in my, and worse, okay? And so I get that, and I've been there. But my goal has never been to give 10%. It's to give as much as I can and live off of as little as I can. I'm going to be honest, I'm not doing that perfectly, okay? But that is my goal, and I'm moving towards that in my life. Why? Because I want to let God do some really cool things with my money. Because my passion in life, my affection is for God and his kingdom, and so I want to invest as much of my time, my energy, and my money into God and his kingdom so that he can do some really impactful things through my little contribution. Because I want to give my money to eternal things, not to temporary things that end up in a garbage can or a waste dump. right? See, this is not about a rule book. And 10% is the right amount to give, right? It's not like, if you give 10%, you're a good person, and if you don't, you're not a good person. No, it's not that. This isn't about a rule book. This is about romance. Giving is about romance. It's about your heart. And if you love God the way God loves you, you want to give him as much as you can. If you really love people, well, then you want to spend your money on things that help people, not just on stuff, not just on yourself. It's about love. And I think that we should try to give as much as we can, not because of the rules, but because of love. But God gives the 10% as kind of the baseline to start from. In fact, it's interesting. So in the Old Testament of the Bible, that's the part before Jesus came, God sets up the standard. It's in there dozens and dozens of times. 10%, tithe of your income. And then Jesus comes along, Matthew 23, verse 23. He says, yes, you should tithe. But later on in the New Testament, God kind of institutes sort of a new standard for giving. In the rest of the verses, they don't mention 10%. What they say is, give what you think is right. And then there's this standard over and over that says, be generous. Give generously back to God. And so it's almost like a new standard. Instead of 10%, it's like, give generously. And some people might think, oh, okay, that's cool, because for me, 5% would be really generous. And somebody else is like, for me, $5 is totally generous, so I'm good. Okay, let's think about that for a minute. Let's think together. So the letters in the New Testament that I'm referring to, the after Jesus came part, they were all written almost exclusively to people who knew all about giving 10%. Okay, they had always been taught since they were babies, you give the first 10% to God. And probably for most of them, they had always given the first 10% to God. Then something happens. God comes to earth. Jesus came for them. Jesus died for them. And they become Christians. And now they're instructed, give generously. What do you think that meant to them? Let me give you an analogy. So let's say I have one child. Okay, I've got one kid, and I've got a regular babysitter. Well, let's say we pay our regular babysitter $5 an hour to watch our one kid. But then we have a second kid. Okay, and so we have the babysitter come over to watch our now two kids. And I say to our babysitter, oh, now you've got an extra child to watch. How much should we pay you now? Our babysitter goes, well, you know what? Do what you think is right. Just, you know, be generous. Do you think that means that we should pay her less? After always paying $5, now we've got an extra reason to pay her more. Do you think when she says, be generous, that she meant maybe $3 now that we've got two? I don't think so. Of course not, right? And of course we're going to give her more because we have an extra reason to give now. In the Old Testament, God says, give 10%. In the New Testament, he says, give what you think is right in your heart. Be generous. I really don't think he meant less. I don't think he meant now that I've come for you, Jesus came for you, Jesus died for you, now give less. Of course, the idea is to give more. And so my first thought is 10% isn't like the goal to shoot for. It's the baseline to start from. The second thought I have for people who say they can't afford to give 10% is I think that's why God made it 10%, a percent. If God said, everyone needs to give $10,000 a year and your income is $20,000 a year, you could be like, I've got a valid complaint with God. So where do I file my complaint, right? Because that guy makes two. But I think that's why God says 10%. He's like, you know what? It's going to hit everyone evenly. And according to God, everyone can afford to give 10%. Apparently God thinks that. The third thought I have for those who say, I can't afford to do this, is I would tell you, you can't afford not to. Really, you can't afford not to. See, people who say, I can't afford to do this, say it because they're thinking of all the things that they'd have to give up if they gave God 10%. But I would say you can't afford not to because of all the things that you're giving up by not giving God 10%. Because the truth is, giving God 10% does so much for us. One thing it does is it establishes our priorities. It establishes our priorities. I mean, if we give God the first 10% of our income, that says a whole lot about what's important to us, doesn't it? There's a verse in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 14:23, it says, the purpose of tithing, giving 10%, is to teach you to always put God first place in your life. See, it helps set our priorities. It's a way that we honor God and put him first. And if I don't give the first 10% to God, I'm missing an opportunity to establish him as the top priority in my life. And I can't afford to miss that. Another thing that happens when we give is it draws us closer to God. It draws our hearts to his. Jesus once said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Your wallet and your heart are inextricably tied together. And so the truth is, whatever you put your money into, you can't help but care more about it. And if you don't put your money into something, it's hurting your chances of caring more about it. And so if I don't put my money into God and his kingdom, I'm losing an incredibly valuable chance to grow my heart for him and his kingdom. But if I do invest in God and his kingdom, then my heart is going to follow my cash. It always will. It always will in everything in life. And so I'm going to find myself more drawn to God, more committed to God, more in love with God. So you see, the truth is, we can't afford not to do this. And all through the Bible, God says, I'm asking you to do this, to give a significant portion of your income for you. I'm asking you to do it because I love you, and I'm asking you to do it for your sake. See, a lot of people think that God's asking them to give money for him. You know, it's like, he needs it, we got to give him 10%, but God doesn't need your money. God's asking you to do this for you, not for him. And listen, if you don't believe that, okay, maybe you're kind of new around here, maybe you don't really know me or my heart and our staff, here's what I would encourage you to do. If right now you're thinking, you don't believe me that I'm asking you to do this for you and what it will do in your life, and maybe you're thinking he's really just talking about money to get the offerings up at Verve, and you know, and the offerings are going to shoot up, we're going to see Vince driving around in a pimp mobile, wearing fur and blowing his nose with $20 bills and throwing them out the window. If you think that, you're weird. But if you think that, if you're like, honestly, I do wonder if it's just to try to get your offerings up and, you know, whatever, then I would encourage you to take the money back challenge. So we instituted this from the beginning of Verve. And the idea is this, and we mean it. If you tithe to Verve, okay, tithe means tenth. So you give a 10% of your income to Verve. Tenth, not ninth or eighth or seventh or sixth or fifth or fourth. Tithe, okay, and for 1 year, you test it out for 1 year, and at the end of that year, you decide, that was a mistake. My faith has not grown, I have not become more of a generous person, God is not more of a priority in my life, it did not bless me, it did not benefit me, then we will refund every single penny that you gave that year. And I mean it. Last time I said this, somebody got mad at me and pulled a knife on me at the back of the room. That ain't happening today, because they're like, you don't mean that. It got really weird in here. I mean it, okay? And if you want me to put it in writing for you, I'll put it in writing. Yes, that really happened. I probably should have mentioned it. So anyway, we will give you a complete. Now, here's the deal, though. You have to give in checks or online. If you say, if you give in cash and at the end of the year you're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I gave like $1 million in cash, I'd like that $1 million back, that ain't happening, okay? No offense, I don't trust you that much. And so, but if you give in checks or online, so we have a record of what you gave, and you say, honestly, did not benefit me. God, you said that God did it so I would grow spiritually, didn't. We will give you back every dollar, okay? Now, let me just throw this out at you. I realize that some of you do believe in Jesus, and you do attend church, but you are not going to do this. You're just like, I'm not going to. You can say whatever you want. I'm not going to do this. But by the way, let me just say, if you don't believe in Jesus or you don't attend church, you shouldn't do this. Okay, so if you're like, man, I'm here exploring, but I don't believe in Jesus and I don't usually attend church, I don't think you should tithe. really this isn't for you. And I apologize because every weekend we try to make it for everybody who shows up, no matter where you are, and the rest of the year they'll all be for all of us. But today's really not for you. But if you do believe in Jesus and you do attend church and you're like, I'm not going to do this. You know, maybe you just can't get your head around it. Maybe you just can't muster up the faith to take that leap and start giving 10% of your income to God. In fact, you might be sitting here thinking, maybe someday. Like someday when I make more money, I could see myself giving 10%, but not now. Honestly, the path that you're on, you'll never do this. Because what you're doing by not giving is every single week you're training yourself not to give. Every single week you're training yourself not to trust God with your finances. And you're never going to feel like you have enough money to jump. Trust me, I've been doing this for a long time. Like, I know people who make tons of money, and they say, someday when I make more money, I mean, money that we would be like, whoa, and they're like, yeah, I just don't make enough money. I'm like, are you kidding me? You'll never feel like you have enough money. So, if you're not going to give 10%, if you're like, I'm just not doing this, then I want to encourage you to consider giving some percent. Some percent. You think and pray about what percent it will be. God wants you to be a percentage giver. Okay, that's one of the key things he talks about money. Be a percentage giver. So at least get on that path. At least start moving in that direction. 1%, 2%, 3%, 5%. And what will happen as you start giving that percent is you're training yourself now to give. You're training yourself to trust God. You're going to see some of what God will do in your life. And then you can start taking steps forward from there and ultimately get to the place where you're obeying God and giving 10%. But if you just decide, I'm not going to give 10%, so I'm not giving anything at all, you're not moving in the right direction. And honestly, I don't think you'll ever get there. Here's one way you might think about what percent to give, how much should I give. Here's just something you might use. What is the lowest bill you have every month? Like, what's the thing that you write the check for every month that's the least? What if you decide, I want to give a percent, and the least it's going to be is more than my lowest bill? Like, I'm going to make God at least a higher financial priority in my life than the thing that is the least financial priority in my life. The least thing I give to, I'm going to at least put God above that so God's not the lowest financial priority in my life. And what if you maybe prayerfully made a goal that ultimately I would like someday to have God be, I would like to give God more than my biggest bill each month. I'm going to start out giving at least more than my least, but someday I want to give God more than I give anything else every month. See, that's something I've kind of dreamed about since I became a Christian, and in the last like year or two, we've gotten there. My wife and I now give more to God every month than we give to anything else, more than our mortgage, more than anything else. And you know what that is? That's fun. It is really fun. When you see how much you gave and you're like, man, we are making a difference. We are investing in lives being changed, in this world being changed. That is fun. God wants us to be percentage givers. Become a percentage giver and work your way towards 10 or more. God also wants it, and we see this all throughout the Bible, to be consistent givers. That it's not something kind of haphazard, but we have a habit in our life of consistently giving. And let me say, that's the beauty of online giving. Like, they didn't have that in the Old Testament times, right? But we've got this deal with online giving. So like if you decide, well, I'm going to give cash or a check when I'm here, that's cool, but sometimes you're not here. I know, I watch. No, I don't. And sometimes you're here and you're like, oh, I don't got any cash, or I forgot my checkbook or whatever. And you're like, oh, I meant to give. I can't give. But the beauty of online giving, so we have this online giving system that you go on our website and you choose what you want to give and set it up as a recurring gift. So you choose your percent, you prayerfully say, okay, I'm going to start giving this much to God. And then you set it up and it's a safe, easy way to give. And what happens then is you're giving consistently and you're building a habit. Right? And so I would encourage you, why don't you do that? God says 10%, and I'm encouraging you to give 10%. You will not be sorry. But if you can't get yourself to do that, at least move towards obedience and trustworthiness by picking a percent and putting that amount as a recurring gift in your online giving. And I just want to be clear real quick. The money back guarantee is if you tithe, not if you want their throw, right? And so that's the tithe thing. But at least choose a percentage and you'll be moving in the right direction. But I have gone on a tangent, okay? Because the issue, the question we're asking is, can God trust you? Can God trust you? And the answer is, yeah, if you're trustworthy, if you do what God asks you to do. And then there's a second question I mentioned earlier when it comes to finances and giving back to God. And the second question is, can you trust God? Can you trust God? And the answer is, you can. You really can. And if you don't know that yet, what it probably means is that you haven't given him a chance to prove himself to you yet. Because I will tell you that if you give him a chance, God will prove himself to you every single time. In fact, he's made that promise to you. I don't know if you know that. This isn't just like, he made a promise to you. So in the Old Testament, in the Bible, in the book of Malachi, God is speaking. And check out what he says. He says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. By the way, tithe is 10%. When the Bible talks about offerings, it's talking about giving more than 10%. But here God is saying, if you don't give me at least 10%, you're robbing me. And I know that sounds kind of harsh, but God said it, not me. If you have a problem, take it up with him. Don't talk to me about it. But the part I want to show you comes next. And this is kind of a cool thing. It's the only place in the Bible where God says something quite like this. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, God says, bring the whole tithe to the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. It's the only place where God asks us to test him in the entire Bible. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. See, God is saying, you can trust me. I dare you to tithe. I dare you to give a full 10% of your family's income back to me and see if I don't bless you for it. See if I don't bless you. See, the truth is, you can trust him. I know that when some of you hear this idea of giving 10% to God, you're like, I just don't know what would happen to my finances. It's a huge risk. And I understand that. I'm a person, right? I'm not some spiritual Superman. When I became a Christian and found out God wanted 10% of my income back to him, I thought, that's a huge risk. I thought the same thing you do. And so I understand the risk. But I heard a story about a man who his wife had a cat. And this guy hated cats. But he especially hated his wife's cat. Shed hair all over, it's always on his clothes. He would trip over it in the dark. The cat would keep him awake in the middle of the night. He hated that cat. One day, the wife went off to visit her mother, and the husband drowned the cat. He killed the cat. So the wife, I didn't realize it was going to get that kind of reaction. It's just a story, people. So the wife comes back home and she says, where's my cat? The husband says, he lies, he says, I don't know. I can't find it anywhere. I looked for it and I just can't find it. But his wife is so hurt, so despondent, so depressed, she says, you have to do something. So what he does is he goes out and he offers a $5,000 reward for the safe return of the cat. Well, his friend says to him, he's like, that's ridiculous. That's nuts. You hate that cat. Why would you offer a $5,000 reward for a cat you don't even like? That's crazy. And the guy says, listen, when you know what I know, you can afford to take the risk. And this morning, I want to tell you that when you know what I know, you can afford to take the risk. All right, it sounds like a huge risk to trust. You're clapping for a drowned cat? I don't even understand where this has gone. When you know what I know, you can afford to take the risk because you can trust God. He is so trustworthy. Someday I will share with you, or if you want, come up and ask me. I'll tell you story after story after story where God has blessed me and my family financially and has proven himself more than trustworthy, time after time. I'll tell you what, if my salary was cut in half today, if it was cut into a third today, I would make all the lifestyle changes I have to make to get by, but it would not occur to me for a second to give God less than 10%. I can't afford not to. And I wouldn't be scared, because when you know what I know, you can afford to take the risk. I would take that risk. And every person I know who has decided to trust God and give generously back to him, they would all tell you exactly the same thing. I've never yet met a person who said, you know what, I started giving and it was stupid. Like I wish I didn't, it was dumb. Because you can trust God. And Jesus' whole story boils down to a matter of trust. The master trusts the servants, just like God has trusted you. He's letting you use some of his money. Two of the servants trust the master, invest, and they succeed. One servant doesn't trust the master, and so he fails. Right? And those are our options, too. Because the whole issue of our finances, of our giving, boils down to a matter of two questions. First question, can God trust you? And I hope he can. Maybe you have not proven yourself trustworthy up till this moment. But the really cool thing about life is you can change that today. Right? You can just make a decision right now, and you can change that today. At the very least, what you can do is you can start moving in the right direction and taking steps of faith in the right direction today. Second question, can you trust God? And the answer is you really can. Perhaps you haven't discovered that yet, but regardless, it is true. You can trust him. He's asked you to give, but remember, he's going to give far more to you in return. He's already given far more to you in advance, because God didn't just have to give money to you. God had to give his son, and he did it because he loves you. And we're going to give you a couple minutes right now to think and about everything you've heard, maybe to make a decision about where you're going to move with this. And it's also a chance just to thank God that he is so trustworthy and that he's given far more to you than you'll ever give to him in return, because he gave Jesus. During this time, we also have communion available. It's around the room on the candlelit tables. And communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood given on the cross for us. And it's a way that we can remember God's generosity towards us in giving Jesus. So if you want to take this time to pray, to make a decision, to take communion, the band's going to play a song. You'll have about 3 minutes to do that. All right, let me pray for us and we'll give you that time. God, thank you for trusting us. And I know probably everyone in this room would say, I've not fully proven myself trustworthy. But still, you took the risk. You took the risk of sending Jesus to die for us, trusting that we would respond in faith and move into a relationship with you. And you took the risk of giving us money to handle, trusting that we would do the right thing with it. God, I pray, I know this is a touchy subject. I know it's hard for a lot of us, but God, would you help us to grow in our faith and move in that right direction, God? I pray a lot of people just decide, I'm going to be trustworthy. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to start giving a full 10% of my income or more. Maybe I've been giving 10. Maybe it's time to move that up a little bit and move towards it being the biggest thing I give to every month is God. God, help us to be trustworthy. And what we know is that when we give back to you, man, we're going to change the world. All that money is invested in helping people come to know Jesus and helping children grow up with a foundation of godly values and wise decision making. It invests in helping the poor and starting churches in countries like India and Poland, where we're starting churches right now. God, it does so much. And we want to be world changers. We want to turn the world upside down. God, we know that giving really isn't about our wallets, it's about our hearts. So help us to give our hearts to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.